Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. What does the U.S. have in common with Lesotho, Swaziland, and Papua New Guinea? Well, we share the dubious status of being the four countries that don't provide paid maternity leave. At last week's State of the Union address, President Obama asked Congress to pass measures allowing federal workers to earn up to 6 days of sick time that could be used as paid family leave. Judith Barnett is a former senior government official. She's now a lawyer and consultant in international trade. She considers America's unwillingness to provide women paid time off to have children an outrage, and she wrote about it for The Huffington Post. Virginia spoke with her earlier this week.
Well, so what is the current maternity leave policy for federal workers?
Well, in 1993, President Clinton signed the Family and Medical Leave Act. And what that allowed was 12 weeks of unpaid leave for employees, either to care for their newborn or for loved ones. Not a lot for people like single parents, et cetera, who can't take unpaid leave, and not a lot for anybody.
Well, that's the federal policy. How about in the private sector in general? What is the paid maternity leave policy?
Pretty weak. It's about 11% of all non-federal or non-government workers can take paid maternity leave of various kinds. You know, on one hand, that's a good thing because 11% get it. On the other hand, some employers have told me that they'll think twice before hiring young women because they'll just take off and take their paid maternity leave.
Wow. Well, we know how pro-family Congress is. How do members of Congress in general feel about paid family or maternity leave?
Basically, they say they like it, but they don't vote for the legislation. So there is a very good bill out by Senator Gillibrand and Representative DeLorio that would allow 12 weeks of paid parental leave. And supposedly everybody, in the 2012 poll says that 88% of Democrats and 73% of Republicans support it, but nobody shows up for a vote. So I guess it sort of is, but it isn't.
So that's proposed legislation by two female Democrats, if I've got it right. Now, how would that be paid for?
Well, they want it to be paid for by a payroll tax. And this is actually something that's done in a couple of the states. There are just a couple of exceptions where family leave is paid through payroll taxes. It's a possibility. I mean, maybe 0.2% or 0.1% could be increased on the payroll tax. And there are many, many ingenious ways of finding money. I've lived in Washington for 40 years, and there are some brilliant people who spend time thinking of brilliant proposals for lots of other things. But when it comes to pregnant mothers and children who I think are our future, people kind of go mute.
Okay. So the president at the State of the Union address, talking to both houses of Congress, and the president at the State of the Union address proposed this 6 days of sick time for that could be used as family leave. Now, how determined is he to get that through? Would this be something that would actually become an item for an executive order, for example?
Well, I mean, I think there are ways that he could implement these types of policies. I don't see it. I mean, this is the sixth year. I've been in three different administrations, and you do kind of get a lame duck once the election for 2016 really kicks off. There's not a lot that they're going to be doing, and I don't see real fire in the belly for paid maternity leave anywhere here.
We're talking with Judith Barnett. She is a former government employee, in fact, high-level government employee, and now is a business consultant and a lawyer. She wrote in the Huffington Post, "An American outrage, having babies on sick leave, wondering why the U.S. is one of only four countries in the world to not give women paid leave to have children." Well, you wrote about a little history of subsidized care for children and families, noting that the last time it was done on any wide scale was during World War II. Can you give us the details?
Yeah, I mean, in World War II, women needed to go into the factories. I mean, I lived in Detroit after World War II, and women still talked about those happy days where they could pack off and go help the war effort. Well, they also had children. So what the government did was to develop federally subsidized child care centers. And then the private sector took over. So they supplemented, like the Kaiser factory. I had wonderful child care centers with a doctor on call at all times, with nurses, with food. And this doesn't all need to be subsidized by the U.S. government. It needs to be seeded by the U.S. government and let private industry supplement it.
Okay, so after Rosie the Riveter returned home, so did the child care, the subsidized child care.
Right.
Another proposal in 1972. What happened then?
Well, that was a proposal under the Nixon administration, and it was in 72. The Congress passed, with pretty strong bipartisan support, something called the Comprehensive Child Care Development Act. So this would have been a national network of federally funded child care centers. But President Nixon was having none of it. But his wording was what really depicted a lot of the thought of that time. He said, implementing a communal approach to child rearing would have family weakening implications.
Uh-huh. Yes, of course, that's what they do in Russia, right?
Right. And let me just say that, you know, the reality now is that 63% of families with kids have either two working parents or a single parent. The majority of families, a big majority now, don't have a stay-at-home parent to provide child care. And the people hit really the worst are families below the poverty line. They spend 30% of their income on child care, whereas those above the poverty line spend 8%.
Well, Judith, you were once in government, we noted, but now you work as a lawyer and a consultant in international trade, and you specialize in the Middle East. I'm curious, you know, what do your colleagues in the Middle East think when you talk to them about America's maternity leave policy?
Well, as I've said in the article, it was just such an ironic statement when I think it was actually a male colleague who said that the next time my American friends talk about our deplorable status of women, I'm going to tell them that, I think what he said, Arab monarchies don't demand that women be sick to deliver the future. I mean, there are all sorts of things, problems in countries throughout the Middle East, but all of them allow paid maternity leave. All of them honor pregnancy. They honor pregnant women, and they want their women to be strong at least during the time. I mean, there are problems with women working and women driving and stuff, and so on and so on in some of those countries. But they at least see this moment of pregnancy as something that's critical to their countries.
Well, Judith Barnett, thank you for speaking with us.
You're just more than welcome. Thank you.
That's Virginia Prescott speaking with Judith Barnett about her article for the Huffington Post, An American Outrage, Having Babies on Sick Leave.